Smaller parsha, right? Reb Shlomo, 72 psukim. 72 psukim. 72 is gematria chesed. It's really the greatest kindness of all that Hashem gave us the Torah. It's Aaron's bar mitzvah parsha. A lot of great tzaddikim have this bar mitzvah parsha. Yeah. Okay, Vayedaber Elokim. Parachof begins, Vayadabri Elokim is Kol Advarma Ilalim, where Hashem spoke all of these things, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. Wow. Okay. The first words we ever heard from Hashem. Says the Ramban, Hadibur Hazem Mitzvah Sasei. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even though it sounds like a statement, is actually a command. The mitzvah. Now, what is the Ramban telling us, and why? I mean, of course it's a command. Well, it's not so obvious that it's a command. The Rambam counts in his Minyan HaMitzvos, the first mitzvah saseh, of the 248 positive commandments, the Rambam says that mitzvah number one is the mitzvah of believing in Hashem. Believing in Hashem. Anochi Hashem. Lokacho. That's the opinion of the Ibn Ezra. That's the opinion of the Rambam. In the very first of the 248 mitzvos, it's how he begins the Rambam's Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. It starts with belief in Hashem. Obviously. Well, not so obviously, because if you look in the Ramban's commentary on the Rambam, and the Rambam puts together his list of the mitzvos and the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban says there is someone who does disagree with this. So much so, people often think that that's the Ramban's opinion. The Ramban actually agrees with the Rambam, and it's very clear. It's right here. Hadibur hazeh, mitzvah saseh. The Ramban believes that there is a mitzvah. Welcome back, Avi. There's a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. That's one of the 613. However, the Ramban quotes the opinion of the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who says that it's not a mitzvah. Not a mitzvah. How is it not a mitzvah? Well, however, again, does it sound like a mitzvah? Is there a command here? What's the command? It's a statement. I am Hashem your God. That's a declaration. It doesn't say believe in me. It says afterwards, Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim, don't have other gods. That sounds like a command. Right? Don't do this. This doesn't sound like a command. So the Bahag actually sees this not as one of the mitzvos. The Bahag sees this as sort of the backdrop to all of mitzvos. It's almost the prerequisite to mitzvos. So while the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and so many others, both in terms of commentaries on Chumash and obviously great Moneh HaMitzvos, people who record the 613, try to figure out what they are, right? So many people count the mitzvah of believing in Hashem as a mitzvah. The Bahag sees it as the backdrop to mitzvos, and that's why it's not formulated as a command. It's formulated as a statement. If you believe in Hashem, I am Hashem your God. If you accept that premise, so now I will command you in 613 mitzvahs. We'll see a medrash that he's going to quote. That first you have to accept the king, and then the king can tell you what to do. Okay? But according to those who count that as a mitzvah, I can't resist from sharing this with you. According to those who count that as a mitzvah, why is it stated as a fact? Why is it a statement? Why is it not in the language of tzivoy, of command? And the answer is, the way the Hasidus would answer this question is, that it's not commanded of you, it's almost just like a statement of a fact, because every Jew, every Jewish soul has emunah. You could say it this way, you could say it that way. The Pintaliyad, the point within the Jew, was one of the first things we learned this year when the Rambam told us about the recalcitrant husband who refuses to give his wife a get, and we kofen osoch yomer rotzani, and the Rambam says, how can you force him to give the get? Isn't that called forcing? I thought the get has to be given willingly. So what? That he said, I want to do the right thing. Because in his heart of hearts, he wants to do the right thing. Because in the heart of every Jew is the desire to do Ratzon Hashem. Every Jew believes. Sometimes that belief gets covered up. That's why we call a person who is a denier of God a kofar. Which literally, the word kafar, right, like the kapores on top of the aron, means a cover. It's covered up. It's buried. His faith has become buried by the difficulties of his life, by the confusion of this world, right? But it's a fact that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Statement, fact, non-negotiable. Okay, so it's a very deep idea. So on the one hand, you do believe. At the same time, obviously one has to work on trying to nurture one's belief. right? To try to study Hashem and understand Hashem and study the Torah and understand the Torah, to come to believe in Hashem. Okay? Duvid Tzvi.
What did the Rambam and the Ramban drop? Which mitzvah did they drop of the Baha'i
to God? So you have to look at the whole everything, right? Because there are mitzvahs, again, when the Rambam puts together his 613, the Ramban wrote his Hasagos, he wrote his notes on that and said, you missed this, you missed that. So it's not like a one-for-one equivalency, right? You have to figure out here and there and everywhere, which mitzvahs you take out, which mitzvahs you put in. Okay? But according to the Ramban, and again, I just want to be clear about this, because the Ramban brings the opinion of the Bahag, right, and he offers some explanation for it. So people sometimes think, oh, the Ramban held that Amunah is not a mitzvah. It's not true. The Ramban agreed with the Ramban that Amunah is a mitzvah saseh. Amar Anochi Hashem. Anochi Hashem is, again, I am Hashem is something that you're being asked to believe. Yore vitzave osam sheyedu v'yaminu ki yesh Hashem. Hashem is in fact informing us and at the same time commanding us that we should know and should believe in Hashem. The Rambam defines believing in Hashem as what? As studying Hashem, getting to know Hashem. It's not abstract belief. It's not blind faith. Learn about Hashem. Look at Hashem's world, like Avram did, and ask yourself, could this have created itself? Study it. Explore it. Understand it. V'hu Elohim lahem. And He is a God to us. Klomar, hoveh, kadmon, mi'ito hayu akol b'chefetz v'yecholas. Hashem is existence. Hashem is the kadmon. Hashem is the starting point. Hashem put it all into motion. He was the one who was here before it all began. Everything comes about through His chefetz, through His desire and His yecholas and His ability. He's responsible for all of reality. V'hu Elokim lahem, and He is therefore God to us. Shechayavim la'avod oso. Because it's His world, and because you are His creation, you're obligated to serve Him. Now realize that even when we talk about being obligated to serve Hashem, don't translate that in your head as, and therefore you are now a slave to God. It's not a punishment. A sense of obligation doesn't make it a punishment. I'm obligated to take good care of my wife. I signed the contract. Ksuba, we got married. It's an obligation, but that doesn't mean it's a burden, right? So there's a sense of responsibility. It's Hashem's world, and therefore, if we want to play in this game of life that Hashem created, we have to play by His rules. V'amar Asher Otzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Ki Otzo Asam Misham Toreh Al Metzias V'Alachefet. So again, why does it say I am God who took you out of Egypt? Why doesn't the pasuk say, like the Rishonim ask, I am God who created the world? Go big. Why are you focusing on a particular event? Why say, I am Hashem, we took you out of Mitzrayim? Again, obviously, in their context, that makes a lot of sense. They just left Mitzrayim. Ki hotso asa misham, again, because taking them out, Torah, it informs us, it teaches us, ala mitzius va'ala chefetz. It shows us first that God exists. There were probably periods in Mitzrayim where the Jews wondered, is there even a God out there? Well, Hashem made His presence known. Va'ala chefetz. He revealed His desire, His ability to control the environment. Ki biyadia uvahashkacha mimenu yatzau. V'gam Torah ala chidush. It also shows the fact that Hashem, what? With His guidance, everything happens. It reminds us that Hashem is in fact the what? The one who is machadesh. Hashem created the world. Hashem doesn't just run the world. Hashem created the world. He was the one who came up with this new idea. You know why? Ki im kad musa olam, because if the world always was, if the world existed, if there wasn't a creator who was in control of designing and defining and designing the world, lo yishtana davar mitivo. So if the world has certain properties of how it operates, so then God can't change it from its teva. The fact that Hashem could change it at His will means that He created it. He's the programmer, right? That was revealed in Mitzrayim. V'tzor ali cholas, and it reveals, it teaches us His absolute ability to control the situation. V'yecholas Torah al hayichud, and that ability, what do you think the Ramban means by this? That ability for Hashem to control everything, right, reveals a certain what? Yichud. It shows a oneness. How does such a oneness? But there's no one like it. How does Hashem's ability to control the situation show His singular existence?
It's like the Teva really comes from above Teva.
Right, so you're saying, so even though within Teva there seems to be different properties, right? But when Hashem has like this, you know, this overarching control, right? It shows that all of it is subject to, right? It looks like there's different systems. In other words, the system by which a tulip grows is different by the system that a whale swims, right? On a Tavadic level, on a surface level, right? Correct. There's a common thread, but that common thread we're saying is Hashem. So it reveals a certain oneness when Hashem shows that I can control everything. There's nothing that's out of my jurisdiction. So that reveals the oneness of Hashem. Okay. V'zeh tam asher hatzisicha ki heima yodim ve'edim b'chol eileh. And therefore Hashem wants to point to something that we know and that we can serve as edim to. Something we witnessed. Did we witness creation? We didn't witness creation. But you witnessed, Hashem says, but you did witness Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it has all the qualities of creation in it. It shows that I exist. It shows that I'm in charge. It shows that I'm in control. It shows the oneness of my ability to direct. Okay, so therefore Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Again, it doesn't really have to command it of them. It's obvious to them based on their experience. Because you saw how I took you out of Mitzrayim. So you know that I run the world. You know that I'm in charge of everything. You know that I can overturn nature, again, in accordance with my will. Okay? However, what's mi beis avadim? Continues the Ramban. V'tam mi beis avadim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Mi beis avadim, from the house of slavery. Why do you have to say mi beis avadim? We know we were slaves in Mitzrayim. Thank you very much. Shayu omdim b'mitzrayim b'beis avadim shvuyim l'paro. Hashem reminds us, when we were in Mitzrayim, we were slaves. We were shvuyim l'paro. We were held hostage by paro. V'amar lahem zeh. The reason Hashem reminds us, obviously we haven't forgotten that, but Hashem is explaining a sense of responsibility. Namely, shehem chayovim shiyeh Hashem hagadol v'hanichbad v'hanora hazeh lachem le'elohim. Why is it that you're chayov to acknowledge, again, my great presence, my great name, my awesomeness, that I should be a God to you? Shi'avduhu, you should serve Hashem. Why? Ki hu pado osam me'avdus Mitzrayim. Because you were avadim to Mitzrayim, and I retrieved you, so now you'll be an eved to me. Now, obviously, being an eved to Paro was suffering. Being an eved to Hashem, right? Now that I've redeemed you, I've made you, I've acquired you in that way, Hashem says, now you work for me. Right, but that again is the greatest privilege of all. Kitam avadaihem asher tzesio samir at the time. But on a very simple level, right, you belong to someone and I purchased you, I acquired you, and now you work for me. Okay? Alright, fine. And he says, Ukvar amazti od lamala. The reason I can explain already earlier why it says Anochi Hashem Alokecha, why it uses these two names of Hashem and Alokecha, Alderecha Emes, based on Kabbalah. Fine. V'zoha mitzvah tikra b'divrei Rabboseinu kabbalos malchus shemayim. And this belief in Hashem is referred to in Chazal as what? As kabbalos o malchus shemayim. Accepting upon ourselves the malchus shemayim. Acknowledging the king. Recognizing the king. Ki hamilos ha'ela asher iskarti heim b'melech k'neged ha'am. This is the king. Right? This is Hashem's, you know, inaugural address. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am Hashem your God. Right? I am the king of this kingdom. Any objections? If you're going to accept, then we'll talk about what the expectations of the kingdom are. Right? But first you have to be makabel upon yourself, malchus shemayim, except that there is a king. Okay? So this was the opening address of Hashem. V'kach amru b'mechilta, and similarly we find in the Medrash, lo yiyya lecha Elohim achayim al panai lamanemar. Why does Hashem say, I command you not to have any other gods? Lefishu omer anochi Hashem elokecha. Hashem has to say, I command you not to be subservient to anyone else, because I am Hashem your God. What does that mean? It says the Medrash, Mashal lemelech shenichtas lemedina. Imagine a king, right, who is taking over a new territory. So amru lo avadav. So his servants say to him, Gezur aleinu gezeros. Right. Well, if you're the new king, so tell us the rules. Make decrees over us. Amr lahem lav. No, we can't start with decrees. I don't want to have to enforce my will by forcing you into it. Rather, kishetekablu malchusi, once you accept me as your king, then exor aleichem gezeros. Then I will issue decrees. Sheim malchusi einchem mekablim, gzeirosai heich atem mekaymen. Because if you don't believe in me, why would you take my word seriously? Hashem says, keep Shabbos. So Hashem says, but I don't want to talk to you about that until I know that you get where I'm coming from. You understand that I took you out of Mitzrayim. I have to just quickly add one of my favorite comments of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says this introduction, and again, I'm emphasizing it. I've been emphasizing this point already all morning, but I haven't said it in this way. How do you see that the privilege of being a Jew is in fact a privilege? Why does Hashem start with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Me'aretz Yitzrayim? So Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. So you're reading the Chumash, you're making your way through the Chumash. Yisro, Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh, you get to Vayikra, and along the way you find certain mitzvahs that just don't sit well with you. You don't understand how it could be. You don't understand it ethically, morally, that's too abstract, it's a chok, paraduma, it doesn't fit your worldview. And sometimes you feel like, I don't want to submit to that, I feel oppressed. I feel oppressed by that mitzvah. So Hashem reminds us, I didn't give you mitzvahs to harm you. That doesn't mean that every mitzvah is easy. That would be a lie to say the mitzvahs are always easy. But let's go back to our original conversation, Hashem says. I am Hashem your God. Right? I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. You were a slave. You were an oppressed people. You were an abused people. And I saved you. Right? So Hashem says, I want to just ask you a simple question. Did I save you from your enemy because I hate you or because I love you? So we look at Hashem, we say, of course, I mean, if someone's held hostage and you save them, right, it's obviously because you care about them. You don't want them to suffer anymore. That's why you freed us. So Hashem says, great, so I want you to remember that. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And everything I'm about to command you, I want you to view against the backdrop of what? Asher etesicha me'aretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim. You were a slave who was suffering in Egypt. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I set you free. I did that because I love you. So I want you to put, after this pasuk, Hashem says, like dot, 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 for the rest of the Torah. So when you read something later on in Vayikra, and you say, it doesn't sit with me, just remember, just like I took you out of Mitzrayim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, because I love you, I gave you Shabbos, because I love you. I told you to honor your parents, because I love you. I command you to wear tefillin, because I love you. I tell you which relationships are permitted and prohibited, because I love you. I ask you to not eat your tree the first 3 years, because I love you. Right? I tell you to let your land rest in the Shemitah year because I love you. It's all a continuation of that initial love that I expressed by saving you. Such an important idea to realize that mitzvahs are not a punishment. That it's all a continuation of this opening expression of Hashem's love. Okay, but the Medrash is telling us a really important point. If you don't accept the Melech, God says, if you don't hold of me, if you don't believe in me, then I can't. Then obviously you're not going to do anything I tell you to do. Right. If I declare myself your king, if I say, I, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, I'm your king, give me all of your money. Everyone, pass up your money. I feel like, you're not my king, and I'm not going to listen to you. So it's only if we accept Hashem as Melech, then Hashem says, I'll make gezeros, then I'll give you decrees. Shem malchusi eincha mekablim, if you don't accept my malchus, so then gezerosai heich atem mekaymen, then you're not going to keep my commands. Kach omer hamakom li Yisrael. So Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Hashem lokecha, I am your God. Lo yelocha elohim acherim. And I am exclusively your God. Anihu shekibaltem malchusi aleichem Mitzrayim. I'm the one who you accepted my malchus in Mitzrayim. You recognize me as your savior, as your king. Amrulah, they say, hey, yes, that's true. So Hashem says, okay, so then great. So kishem shekibaltem malchusi kavlu gzerosai. So now that you believe in me, you've trusted me, you've seen my concern and care for you, so now accept my mitzvahs. Klomar, acher shatem, akav v'maleichem, Since you've already accepted that I am Hashem your God, Umodim Shani Hashem, Vani Elokeichem, Be'eretz Yitzrayim, since you already knew me in Mitzrayim, so now let's start talking about mitzvos. Kablu kol mitzvosai. I want you to accept my mitzvos. Okay, beautiful. Now notice, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, this whole thing, the Dibros are stated B'lashon Yachid. Hashem's talking to the Tzibur, he's talking to Klal Yisrael. Why is it in the singular? So sometimes in the singular means because he's talking to the collective Jewish people. But the Ramban says, V'nemru kol adibros kulan b'lashon yachid. Why are the commandments issued in singular? Elokecha, asher etzisicha, v'lo kasher hischil lachem. And not like it originally began, atem ra'isem, in the plural. So why is it in the singular? Im shamoa tishma'u. You introduce the whole thing in the plural, but now when you actually start talking to us and giving us your instructions, you're giving it to us one by one as individuals. What's the idea? Lahazir, it comes to warn us, to inform us. Ki kol yachid mehem yeyanesh ala mitzvos. Chavra, we don't believe in collective accountability. I mean, we do on a certain level. But Hashem says, I want you to know that your Shabbos matters to me, and your kibud av v'im matters to me, and your belief in me matters to me, and your lack of jealousy matters to me, and your responsibility not to kill matters to me. Hashem says, to each yachid, he says, I can't. It's not just that I don't want murder in the world, I don't want adultery in the world, I don't want criminal behavior in the world. It's not just that I want emunah in the world, I want you to believe. Right? I want you to not believe in false gods. I want you to respect my holy name. I want you to keep Shabbos, I want you to honor your parents. Hashem is talking to each one of us. Ki im kol echad yedaber, ulechol echad yitzave. Shelo yachshavu ki achar harov yelet. This is not like, we're going to give everyone, either collectively you're going to pass or fail. It doesn't work like that. V'hayachid yinatzel imahem. Don't think that Hashem is going to judge the tzibur and an individual will be saved automatically by way of the tzibur. No. And Moshe comes back to this again in his closing speeches at the end of the Torah. Okay? So Hashem, again, when he first communicated to us, he wants us to believe that my individual responsibility towards mitzvos is very, very important, very significant. Okay. Next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, pasuk Dalid. Lo yelecha lohim acherim al panai. Lo sase lecha pesel v'chol tmuna. You shouldn't make images. Right, of anything above or below, believe in me exclusively. You should not have any other gods. Right, al panai. What does al panai mean? So Rashi says al panai means kol zman she'ani kayam, as long as I exist. Hashem said, I'm your only God as long as I'm around, and if I cease to exist, then you can move on to other things. Obviously, it's a funny comment because Hashem is planning on sticking around forever, right? So what else could al panai mean? Alpanai means in my presence. So Rashi says, as long as I'm around, so you got to believe in me. If I stop existing, then we'll talk about, you can figure out where to go next. Okay? It's a funny comment. But says the Ramban, I'll tell you what Alpanai means. Alpanai means in my face. Don't believe in other gods. Alpanai, in my face, in my presence. What does that mean? Okay, so Chava, just jump ahead a couple of paragraphs. Find the paragraph that says, Vitam Alpanai. Do you see that? On page Aleph in the left-hand column. Vitam al panai. What does that mean? Don't have other gods al panai. Vitam al panai, the explanation of al panai, what it means is, kamo imlo al panecha yivarecheka. Pasuk in Iov. Or the pasuk, va'ata ho'ilu pnu bi, va'al panechem im achazev. What does it mean in that context? Those psukim in Iov. Yes, here, that is to warn us, lo sase l'chaluhim acherim ki al panayhu. Don't serve other gods ki al panayhu, because it's in my face. Because I'm watching. What do you mean I'm watching? Hashem is saying, do you think that right now we're like face to face, but when we leave Har Sinai, we're not face to face? Don't you realize that wherever you are, you're al panai? Don't think like, when I'm in shul, when I'm in the base of Edrash, I feel the presence of God, I'm in the base of Mikdash, so now I'm face to face with God. So there, I have to be exclusive to Hashem. But when I'm far away from the shul, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMedrash, right? When I'm on vacation, so now Hashem's not watching as much, and now I can do a shtickle idol worship on the side. Hashem says, that's not how it works. We're going exclusive forever. Everywhere, at all times. Al Panai means what? Ki Al Panayu. Don't have other gods. Ki Al Panayu, because you're always in my presence. Sha'ani mistakel umabit b'chol eisu b'chol makom ba'osam. I'm paying attention to everything you do at all places, at all times. Ki adavar ha'asoy b'fanav shal adam hu omer alav yikare al panav. Because when you do something in front of someone else, that is called in Tanakh al panav, in my presence. So you have that in many places. V'chein v'ta'avur ha'mincha al panav. The mincha passed al panav, in his presence, in front of him. Or v'yamas nadav v'aviyu. Vayichayin Elazar v'Yisamar al pnei Aaron Aviyam. And when Nadav and Aviyu died, the other brothers continued to serve in the presence of Aaron, their father. Shaya Aaron Aviyam roev omecham. Aaron was standing there and observing. Okay, or like we find in Divrei Yamim, Vayamas Nadav Aviyu lefnei Aviyam, uvanim lahayu lahem. Fine. V'hinei Amar lo sas elecha Elohim acherim. And therefore the Pasuk says, don't have any other gods, because Al Panai, because I'm always watching. Sha'ani nimtza imcha tamid v'roa ascha b'seser v'galoi. Hashem says, there's no place that is devoid of me. I'm watching over you, b'seser, in hiding, v'galoi, and in the open. I'm always watching. I'm always connected to you. In other words, if you choose something other than Hashem, what you're implying is Hashem's not with me in this moment. That's very insulting. Hashem says, what do you mean? We're always al panai. We're always together. We're always face to face. Right? This is not like a unique moment, Har Sinai. Right? The Chas and the Kaala looking at each other under the chuppah. What, so there they feel really close. But what, when he's in his office in Midtown Manhattan and she's wherever she is, somewhere else? Then there's a lack of loyalty to each other. They're not face to face anymore. They're not in each other's presence. Yosef is sold as a slave to Mitzrayim, right? And he has a big nisayon, but he feels his father's presence. He sees the image of Yaakov, like the Gemara says, and Sota Daf Lamed Vav. He sees Yaakov Avinu's picture in the window, and he feels, hold on, my father's watching. I'm in my father's presence. So Hashem says to us again at the mountain, we're always together. I'm with you. I'm watching. B'seisru v'galoi, in times of concealment and when it's revealed. Okay? Fine. And then the Pasuk says, yeah, you see the next little paragraph? Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha. He goes back. Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha. Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha levadi. I am Hashem, your God, exclusively. Now, let's go deeper into that. V'ein roi shetisha teif imi acherim. And therefore, don't join. I don't want anyone else to be a shutaf, a partner in this. I want exclusivity in our relationship. V'anochi kel takif shiyesh lekel yadi. I am kel. I am all-powerful. Takif, I'm strong. I have all the power in my hand. V'kana. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what? I am a Kel Kana. Right? This is Pasuk Hay. Again, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm a El Kana. I'm a zealous God. Hashem, what are you? You're jealous of what? Why? You're jealous that I'm not giving you enough attention? You know? But I can't do anything else? I can't think about anything else? But because we're married now, I can't think about anything else other than my wife? My wife's upset that what? That I think about my job? That's a betrayal? Only think about you all day, every day. What are you zealous of? What are you jealous of? What are you upset about, Hashem? You're a Kel Kana, says the Ramban. She'akanei b'nosein kvodi la'acher u'silasi l'psilim. Hashem says, yes, I'm insulted when you take the honor and the relationship that I want to forge with you and you give praise to idols. V'lo nimtza b'kosov b'shum makom shuyavo lashon kina b'shem ha'nechbad kiim b'inyan avodazar b'vad. Ramban points out, the only time that we find the Kodesh Baruch Hu responding in this way, being almost personally insulted, is when it comes to avodazar. Why? Well, Omer HaRav B'mor Nevuchim, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, Shalo Timsa B'chol HaTorah V'kol Sifrei HaNeviim L'shon Charon Af V'lo L'shon Kas V'lo L'shon Kina Elo B'inyan Avodah Zarah B'lvad. The thing that gets Hashem the most angry, Kivyachol, the thing that makes Hashem the most frustrated with us, that there's a sense of almost, right, Kina. We would translate kina as jealousy, but it's more of a zealotry. Hashem is so stark about it, right? Why does Hashem take avodah zarah so seriously? It says the Ramban two lines later. Ulefi da'ati, sheyazkir kina b'avodah zarah b'Yisrael b'vad. You should also realize that while Hashem doesn't like anyone doing avodah zarah, the only time Hashem gets so worked up in this language is when Jews do avodah zarah. Because as much as avodah zarah is usur for non-Jews also, Hashem says that that doesn't hurt the relationship, because my relationship with the world is not the same as my relationship with you. When you worship avodah zarah, Hashem says, I feel personally betrayed. Why? Look at these words, beautiful words. Vitam ha-kina, the explanation of this kina. Ki Yisrael segulas Hashem ha-nechbar asher hamdilam lo. Hashem says, because we're not business partners. A person could be, you know, have a business, and can also have a side business. But a person can't have a spouse and then a side spouse. Right? You'll tell me once upon a time a person can be married to more than one person. Okay. But there's an exclusivity, right, that hopefully we understand that's being described here. Hashem says, I chose you. I made you my beloved. We have an exclusive deal together. So you taking a avodah zarah is so hurtful, Hashem says. V'inei im ha'am shalo. Mishar Sav, if his people, Hashem's people, Hashem's trusted partners, Ponim Elohim Acherim, Yekani Behem Hashem. When you decide to hang out, right? When you pledge allegiance to something other than me, Hashem says, I'm very hurt by that. Kashara Ish Makane Biishto Balechta Lacherim. The way a person would feel utterly betrayed if his wife went off with someone else. Uva Avdo Basos Lo Adon Acher. Right? Or even from the level of someone who was your business partner for 25 years, and one day he comes in and he says, you know, I'm working with someone else now. Whoa, what happened? What happened to our relationship? This isn't just a business. Hashem says, this is not just a business. Mitzvah is not just a business. We have a relationship. Lo yomer akasav kein b'shar ha'amim. But Hashem doesn't talk this way when he tells the nations of the world not to do avodah zarah. Asher chalak lahem tzivos shamayim. Hashem anticipates and expects them to worship the stars and the moon and the sun and to worship idols. Hashem says, you're not allowed to do that either. But when we do it, there's this spirit of kina, there's this jealousy. And again, instead of looking at this pasuk and saying, Hashem, why are you so petty? Right, look at it the other way. Say, wow, Klal Yisrael, look how you're so loved. Hashem says, I want to have an exclusive relationship with you. We insult Hashem when we're not loyal to Hashem. We insult Hashem the way, God forbid, a woman would betray her husband if she left him for another man. Or if people who worked together for years and it was so much more than the business, all of a sudden he decides to join someone else to make a few more dollars. That's so hurtful. Was this all just about the business? Was it about the money? It was about the friendship we had? It was about the relationship that we had? Right? There's a sense of really insulting Hashem. And again, while what does that mean? God can't get insulted. It's a hard question, you know, philosophically. But on a very human level, we should feel that in a deep way. Hashem wants to have an exclusive relationship with His beloved people. Yeah?
In a world where we don't have a Yitzhar heart for avodah zarah,
yeah,
do we still consider the Kelat HaMatiyah as prevalent?
It's a great question. We don't have avodah zarah as avodah zarah, but we still have avodah zarah, which goes really back to what we learned yesterday, right? Do my actions bring kvod shamayim? Right? Or do I feel that I don't get... Right? Meaning, when a person feels that, you know, let's say, you know, a husband and a wife, right? So if the husband or the wife feels that my beloved, my spouse, is not there for me, doesn't provide for me, right? Doesn't, you know, that I can't trust my spouse to meet my emotional needs, right? So I get it elsewhere. There's something off about that. Doesn't mean a married person can't have a friend. Doesn't mean a married person can't have a rabbi or a therapist, you know? Of course. But when I feel that what what a deep intimate relationship is supposed to offer, and it's not being provided here, that I'm seeking it elsewhere, that's very hurtful. Right? So if I say, yeah, mitzvahs are fine, it's my job, but the geschmack in life comes from what? From something else. So Hashem says, whoa, that's crazy. You feel like you can't get what you're looking for by me? That you need avodah zarah, you need some type of other worship, you need something else to fill that void? Again, I think that's entirely relevant to us today, even though we don't bow down to wooden statues, you know? On a certain level, any time that a Jew is seeking something outside of the framework with which Hashem wants us to live, that's called avodah zarah. It's foreign worship. Why are you looking elsewhere? Why are you not invested in this relationship? That's how Hashem feels. And the fact that Hashem expresses it in such a deeply emotional way should resonate with us. That's a powerful idea. Okay, yeah, David and then Jonah.
This is definitely taking it on a bit of a tangent.
Go for it.
So, I heard before that our relationships in this world are a microcosm for practice for our relationship with Hashem.
Yeah.
Are there any sources to go the other way that, like, learning how to build that relationship with Hashem works for us to, like, as a practice for us to build relationships with those around us?
Probably. No? Have a domelo, be like him. Mahu chanun, mahu rachum. I'm trying to acquire the character traits of Hashem, not only to use them towards Hashem, to use them towards the world, towards the people around me. So I think so. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I think it's an appropriate thing to say. Yes, Jonah James.
I'm just wondering, it says, all the mitzvahs bring you Hashem keeps also, right? So I was wondering, one of our mitzvahs is not supposed to be jealous. So saying Hashem, he's jealous, seems like it's kind of
aligned with our premise. Right, interesting. Hashem practices the Torah. Hashem keeps the Torah. Like it says in the Yerushalmi, it says in the Medrash. Hashem practices what he preaches. So Hashem commands us not to be jealous. Right? So how does Hashem describe himself as a kel kana, as some type of zealous or jealous? Jealous is not really the right word. The kina here and the jealousy that we're not supposed to have is not exactly the same. But it's still an interesting question. Right? Isn't this a bad midah? It's an interesting question. I have to give more thought. You can still have a thought. Let's hear.
Even if he did translate as jealous, which as you said, it's about early, Hashem's only being, quote unquote, jealous for what's rightfully his and what isn't.
Right.
It's not like I'm being jealous.
That's a great point. Right.
Meaning this is already mine. Why is
right. So the command of not being jealous is don't desire your friends this, your friends that. Hashem is saying, I'm not desiring anything other than what's truly mine. Right? Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. This is mine. I'm hurt by that which is mine not being true to me. Right, that's a good answer. I like that answer. Okay, Chaver, let's go to Pasuk Vav. We'll see something very important about how love is developed. Let's learn about love. How do you nurture love? You nurture love through self-sacrifice. Pasuk Vav, Parachav Pasuk Vav. The pasuk says that Hashem is osa chesed la'alafim. La'o havai. Hashem says, I perform kindnesses for thousands of generations. La'o havai. To those who love me. U'lishomrei mitzvosai. And to those who keep my commandments. Who are o havai? How do you show Hashem that you love Hashem? Well, we say every day in Shema, love Hashem with all your heart, all your soul, all of your resources. See, real love has to come with self-sacrifice. That's what we're going to learn. Very easy to throw around the word, I love you. Right? But am I prepared to give up everything for you? The word ahava, tzaddikim tell us, is the word comes from the word hav. Hav in Aramaic means to give. So how much am I prepared to invest and to give as an expression of my love? Hanira mashma sakasuv. That this is part of the promise, the commitment of the mitzvos that again are being described here. Yomar, as that is to say, kihu osa behen chesed la'alafim la'oavav. You keep the mitzvos, Hashem says, I will perform chesed for thousands of generations to those who love me. What does that mean? Says the Ramban in four words: Haim hamoisrim nafsham alav. People who dedicate, who sacrifice their souls to Hashem, and that means sometimes, God forbid, it means dying al kiddush Hashem, making the ultimate sacrifice. But it also means, it means making myself uncomfortable to give to you, right? Putting myself aside to think of you, to give to you, to be moser nefesh, to give up my existence for someone else. In this context, for Hashem. Ki amodim b'shem hanichbar u'belokuso levado, because when I say that Hashem, I will not trade you for anything in the world, right? When I show that I'm dedicated to you levado, solely you, v'yichbru b'chol eloha nechar, and I deny any other foreign god, v'lo ya'avdu osam im sekanas nafsham, and I wouldn't even serve them if my life was in danger, yikaru o'avav. Then Hashem says, wow, you really love me. You really mean it. When you say you love me, it's not just when it's easy, but when it's hard, when it means sacrifice, you prepared to give for me. Ki zohi ha'ava shenischayavnu ba b'nafshoseinu. Because this is what ava really means. Ad kedei kach, to give my nefesh for Hashem. Kamo she'amar, as we say, of course, every day in as part of our Kabbalah Solmach Shemayim, to love Hashem ve'avta eis Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. To love Hashem with all of our heart and all of our nefesh, shetimsur nafshecha v'chayecha ba'avasal. To give my soul, to give my life and my love for Hashem. Shelo tachlifenu be'el acher, that I would never trade it for anything else. V'lo tishatef imo el nechar. And I wouldn't even be mishtatef, I wouldn't even add to it something else. I don't need anything else. I built ila Hashem levado, Hashem alone, that's the only thing I need. And therefore, who's called the great lover of Hashem? The Navi Yeshayahu says, "Lokach nemar ba'Avram zera Avram ohavi." Avram who loved me, Avram who was dedicated to me. You know why? Because Avram was prepared to die for Hashem. Shenasa nafsho shelo yavod avodah zarah bor kasim. Avram put his life on the line for that relationship. Ushar tzaddikim yikaru shomrim mitzvosav, and other tzaddikim. Right, the pasuk says again, "I will do." Hashem says, "I'll perform kindness for thousands of generations." To those who love me and those who keep my commandments. Those who love me means a person who's willing to sacrifice his life for me. And Hashem says, and also people who, you know, make those micro sacrifices by keeping my mitzvos. Okay? Fine. The rabbin perishu ko'avav ha'ovdu me'ava shalom anas l'kabo pras. Some say, some interpret this, like we find in Chazal, some interpreted that serving Hashem out of ava means I do it not even for the reward, out of pure love. As opposed to shomrei mitzvos, of a person who keeps the mitzvos, knowing they're going to be properly compensated for it. That's one level of service. But to do it l'shma, so to speak, out of a love for Hashem, that's a beautiful thing. And then he quotes a very painful medrash. Very sad, but very true medrash. It's sad, but it also, you know, reminds us of the greatness of the Jewish people. U'matzasi b'mechilta. Mechilta is the medrash on Shmos. I found in the medrash on Shmos, le'ohavai ze'avraham v'kiyotze bo. Who's an example of Ohavai, those who love me, Avram, and the like? U'lishomrei mitzvosai, elu hanaviyim v'azakenim. Rabbi Nosson Omer, la'ohavai u'lishomrei mitzvosai, elu shem yoshrim beret Yisrael, v'nosnin nafshim ala mitzvos. No, he says, Ohavai and shomrei mitzvosai is one category. A person who expresses their love for me by doing mitzvos, even though it hurts, says the Medrash. Ma lecha yotze leharek. You see a Jew being taken out to be executed. And you ask him, Ma lecha yotze leharek, why are you being taken to be killed? So he says, What crime did you do? And the fellow admits to his fellow Jew who sees him being taken away, Al shemalti esmini, because I gave my son a bris milah. Sirus nefesh. Ma lecha yotze lisarev. You see a Jew being taken out to be burnt at the stake. What crime did you do? Al shekarasi b'Torah. I was arrested for the crime of learning Torah. Malacha yotze litzalev. Why are you being taken out to be hanged? Al sheachalti as a matzah, because I got caught eating matzah. Malacha loka Me afargel. Why are you being beaten with a whip? Ashenataltia salulav. I got caught doing the mitzvah of Natilas Lulav. The Omer, and this is what the Navi Zachariah says, Asher hu kesi beis me'ahavoy. Hamakos ha'ela garmuli le'ahev la'avishu ha'shamayim. It's this type of suffering that made me beloved in the eyes of Hashem. Because look how much does Hashem love a Jew who's willing to sacrifice for Hashem in this way? That he's willing to give himself for Hashem. Okay, so Ava comes from self-sacrifice. Sometimes when it hurts, that's how you show Hashem that you really care and that you really love Hashem. Okay, last but not least, friends, we have to end off, I guess. We have to clarify. Okay, very quickly. Let's see if we can do this very quickly. Because I really actually want to get two last points in. Okay, in Pasuk Zion, go a couple paragraphs in. Do you see where it says, V'hine lashon ha-kasuv ha-zeh es-shem Hashem alokecha? What page? Resh Pehei. Okay, Pasuk Zion says you shouldn't swear by the name of Hashem. You shouldn't use Hashem's name in vain. Yeah? L'sis ha-shem Hashem alokecha l'shav. V'lo yinaka Hashem es-asher yisah shemo l'shav. Fine. Don't use Hashem's name in vain. Right? Don't use Hashem Hashem Elokecha. Okay? Fine. So says the Ramban, I want to clarify something. Who's talking here? Don't use the name of Hashem your God in vain. What? Why doesn't Hashem say don't use my name in vain? Why does it say don't use the name of Hashem your God in vain? Who's talking in this pasuk? Is Hashem talking? Is Moshe talking? Who's commanding the Ten Commandments? So says the Ramban, V'hinei lashon ha-kasuv hazeh. As Shem Hashem Elokecha, it sounds like someone's talking about Hashem. Ki ilu Moshe yadaver, it sounds like Moshe's talking. V'chein v'chol hadibros acharei kein. And the truth is, the rest of the Ten Commandments, starting from number 3 through 10, it doesn't sound like Hashem himself is talking. U'v'shnayim ha'psukim ha'rishonim Hashem yadaver. But we started off with Hashem communicating to us directly. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem. Asher v'teisicha. I took you out. Al panai, in my presence, in my face. Ki anochi lo'avai l'shomer mitzvosai. It sounds like Hashem is talking. So what does the Gemara say at the end of Maseches Makos? No. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Gemara says, what's the gematria of Torah? 611. How many mitzvos are there? 613. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, says the Gemara. Moshe taught us 611. The first two, anochi and lo yi'alecha, he quotes it here, mipi ha'gvura shema'anum. Shehem Ikarakol. The first two we heard directly from Hashem, and the other 611 were taught to us by Moshe. Really? We only heard Hashem say two of the Aseres HaDibros? I find that hard to believe. So does the Ramban. He quotes the Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham Hiksha. Ibn Ezra asks on this pasuk, Ki akosav amar v'yedabr Elohim es kol advar me'ela lemor. How do we introduce the Aseres HaDibros? How does Parak Chaf begin? Hashem spoke all of these things. Hashem said everything. Hashem didn't just give us the first two. So what does the Gemara mean when it says the first two? And even more so, it says, and these words were said to the entire Kahal. In Chumash Devarim, when it repeats the Aser Sedibros. And furthermore, it says, V'yichtavim al shnei luchos avanim, ki kasher amaram es kol kahalchem, kein ksavam al luchos. And Hashem wrote them all down like Hashem spoke the ten. And then he recorded the ten on the first Luchos. So says the Ramban, let me tell you what happened at Har Sinai. Chevra, fundamentals. What happened at Har Sinai? Va'ani afareish l'cha kabbalas rabosenu. There's different opinions in Chazal, but let me put them all together for you. I'll tell you how it works. V'vadai, says the Ramban, shekol aseres ha-dibros shamu kol Yisrael mipi Elohim. Kipshuto shel kasef. There's no question. All of these things were communicated directly by Hashem. So what is different in the Gemara in Makos says the first two we heard directly from Hashem, the other ones we heard from Moshe. What it means is that the first two we heard and understood directly from Hashem. When Hashem said them to us, we knew exactly what we had to do. The other ones required Moshe to what? To give a perush, to explain it to us, to help us process it. Aval b'shnei hadibros harishonos, hayushomim hadibor, they heard the words of Hashem, u'mevinim osomimenu, kashar yavin osam Moshe. When Hashem said, I am Hashem, your God, everyone understood it as clearly as Moshe understood it. Everyone understood what Hashem expected of them, what it means to be exclusive with Hashem. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim, everyone understood that. It didn't require explanation. V'alkein yedaber imahem, kasher yedaber ha'adon el avdo. Hashem commanded it to them directly, clearly. However, mikan ve'elach, bishar hadibros, yishmu kol hadibor. But the other ones, they heard the voice, they heard the sound, v'lo yavinu oso, but they didn't know how to process it. They couldn't chap it. They didn't understand it. V'yitztarech Moshe letargim lehem kol dibor v'dibor ad sheyavinu oso mi Moshe. And the rest of the way, they needed to what? They needed Moshe to clarify, what is it that Hashem is saying? What is it that Hashem really wants? And that's what we find in the Medrash, Moshe yidaber v'elokim ya'anenu bakol. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, Moshe spoke and Hashem ya'anenu bakol? Hashem gave the voice, but Moshe gave the explanation. V'alkein hayu behem divrei Hashem, im Moshe sheyom olam kein. They heard the word of Hashem, but it takes a tzaddik, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, to clarify it. Why did the first two, why did they need to hear it straight from Hashem? V'akavana haisa b'zeh. Everyone had to be a prophet. Everyone had to understand with crystal clarity, you know, crystal clear. They had to understand the fundamentals of belief in Hashem and the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. It's too fundamental to hear that from Moshe. But the rest of the mitzvos, they got a taste from Hashem and Moshe guided them the rest of the way. Okay? So that's the Ramban's understanding of how it worked at our Sinai. Yeah, sure. Again, right. On the one hand, you have psukim that tell us that Hashem said everything. On the other hand, you have this Gemara that says they only heard the first two from Hashem. Right? So really, they heard everything from Hashem. The first two they heard and understood directly from Hashem. Why, the Ramban says? Because when it was teaching us to believe in Hashem and to reject the Avodah Zarah, that's too fundamental to hear from someone else. Hashem wanted us to receive that directly. The rest of the mitzvos, we got a bit of an understanding from Hashem. We heard the kol. We heard the voice, but we needed Moshe to clarify it for us. And that's also, Hashem set it up that way so that we could come to trust Moshe and to believe in Moshe as the transmitter of Torah. Right? Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi, to believe in Moshe. V'yaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe Avdo. It's a fundamental part of our belief that Moshe was assigned in our presence the responsibility to be a communicator for Hashem. Okay? Alright, Chavra, last but not least, one final point. Let's talk about Shabbos. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The Ramban says a lot of things. Right? He says that, you know, Zohar V'Shamar B'Dibur Echad, like Chazal tell us. He suggests that maybe, interestingly enough, the word Zohar was written in both Luchos. Even though, when we read our Chumash, in this week's Parsha it says Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, and in Ve'aschanan it says Shamar, but Chazal tell us that Zachar v'Shamar b'Dibur Echad, they were both said simultaneously. And Ramban says it could be that actually in the Luchos themselves, it's not that the first Luchos said Zachar and the second Luchos written by Moshe said Shamar. It could be both Luchos said Zachar. What the Pasuk in Ve'eschanan is revealing to us is that when Hashem said it, Hashem said Zachar v'Shamar b'Dibur Echad. Interesting. Which is very interesting, because that means that Hashem only really wrote down the Zohar aspect of Shabbos, which is the positive aspect of Shabbos. Hashem doesn't want us to obsess. We have to follow the halachos of not being mechalal Shabbos. Right? But when Hashem wrote it down, He wanted to focus on, you know, how we make Shabbos, how we do Shabbos, not all the don't do's of Shabbos. Okay? But I want to just end with this last point, because this is a very, very famous Ramban. Okay? Zohar is the mitzvah saseh, Shamor is the lo saseh. Zohar is by day, Shamor is by night. Says the Ramban, go to the paragraph that begins, V'lachein mitzvah saseh. Probably on the next page, yeah. V'lachein mitzvah saseh. Gidolo mi mitzvah lo saseh. You have that as a paragraph? Okay, let's do the paragraph, V'emes. V'emes who? Page Resh Pei Vav, the right hand column, page Resh Pei Vav, the MSU. We'll take it from there.
Yeah,
You see it on page Resh Pevav? The MSU? The MSU Gamkein Kimida Zachar Ramzu B'mitzvah Saseh. Zachar alludes again to the positive aspects. V'hu hayotze mimidas ha'ava. V'hu lamidas harachamim. Hashem gave us positive commandments and negative commandments. Shabbos, which is an all-encompassing mitzvah, so Shabbos has to it, right, both kind of the positive and the negative. So the Zachor aspect of Shabbos is the mitzvah saseh aspect of Shabbos, which comes from the loving aspect of Hashem. Ki ya'osa mitzvah sadonav, because when I do the mitzvah of Hashem, ahuv lo, I become beloved to Him. Va'adonav merachim alav, and then Hashem can respond by showering me with gifts and have rachmanis. Umidas shamur b'mitzvahs lo saseh. And shamur, the shamur aspect of Shabbos, comes to what? To allude to the lo saseh of Shabbos, which comes from where? Which comes from midas hadin. It comes from midas hayira. It's the responsibility to avoid doing the wrong thing so that you won't get punished. Okay? B'chevra, we know there's mitzvahs saseh. We know there's mitzvahs lo saseh. We know that there's ava. We know that there's yira. We know that there's zachar. We know that there's shamur. Which one is greater? There's more negative commandments than positive commandments. You almost would think that the main thing is, you know, playing defense more so than going on offense. And yet the Ramban says that's not true. Like I told you, in both Dibros, in both Luchos, I'm sorry, right? It may have only said Zachor. Look what the Ramban writes. This is the very famous paragraph. Look what he writes. These next words. V'lachein, mitzvahs aseh gedola mi mitzvahs lo saseh. A positive commandment is greater than a lo saseh. When you do averos, you should feel bad. But when you do mitzvahs, you should feel great. You have to believe in the power of good deeds. Mitzvah saseh is greater than a lo saseh. You know why? Because a mitzvah saseh comes from a place of ava, and mitzvahs lo saseh come from a place of yira. What's a higher level? Ava sashem or yira sashem? Ava is a higher level. Ava is gedola mea yira. Right? Positivity is greater than negativity. Right? A little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. Ava is greater than yira. Zachar is greater than shamur. Mitzvah saseh are greater than lo saseh. Ki amakayim va'osa begufa u'mamono ratzon adonav u'gadol me'anishmer me'asos hara be'enav. When I do a mitzvah with my body, with my money, when I fulfill the will of Hashem, that's greater than guarding myself from not doing the not will of Hashem. You have to believe in the power of positive actions. U'lakach amru, and that's why Chazal say, halachic principle, da'osei asei u'dochi los asei. We have a principle in Shas, asei dochelos asei. Asei dochelos asei. A mitzvah asei has the ability to overpower a los asei. So if my tzitzis, right, if my tchelis and lavan is a combination of linen and wool, but wait a minute, that's shatness. But the mitzvah of tzitzis, to use one example, overpowers the prohibition of shatness. Asei dochelos asei. You know why? Because ava has to be greater than yira. Person needs a balance. But the ava, the positivity, has to be the focus. Right? My Yiddishkeit can't be about being afraid of Hashem. My Yiddishkeit has to be about embracing and loving Hashem. U'mepneze yeha onesh v'mitzvos lo saseh godol v'osin bo din k'gon malkus u'misa v'ein osin din b'mitzvos saseh klal ela b'mordim. That's why, interestingly enough, since saseh is docha lo saseh, right? That's why when a person what? When a person violates a lo saseh, there's a punishment. But failing to do a mitzvah saseh, there's no punishment unless you do it in an actively rebellious way. The biggest punishment for failing to do a mitzvah saseh is the failure to do a mitzvah saseh. Understand? That's the biggest punishment. You lost that opportunity to be close to Hashem. If a person, you know, actively turns a mitzvah saseh into a weapon, like says, Lula v'tzitzis einiosa. If he has the audacity to brag about the fact that he doesn't do mitzvahs. Sukkah iniosa. Right? So in such a case, he can be given lashes. Right? But for the most part, right, the punishment of failing to do a mitzvah saseh is simply the failure to do a mitzvah saseh. It's a blown opportunity to be close to Hashem. Okay? So therefore, yes, there's a zachor, yes, there's a shamor, but we should know that the ikar is the zachor more than the shamor. Alright, chaver, we'll stop here. But the Ramban has a lot more to say about, you know, Shabbos as a fundamental of our faith. Shabbos is connected to all the mitzvos. Okay, feel free to to learn some more. Yes.
Until like this is, I'll say, until they like reach like a